Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through to 3. And the scripture says this. It says, "And Moses answered and said," he's speaking to God, he says, "Behold, they will not believe me." Anybody ever had somebody, you try to tell them about God and they're not going to believe you? Yeah? Well, Moses had the same problem. He said, "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice." They won't believe me, let alone do what I say. For they will say, "The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." You have not talked with God. The Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, "Moses, what is that in thine hand?" Everybody just look at your hand for a moment. "Moses, what is that in your hand?" And he said, "God, it's a rod. It's a stick." And he said, "Well, cast it down on the ground." And Moses cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. That's probably what I'd do. If my stick turned into a snake, I'd probably run as well. And that's what Moses did. But God said to Moses, he said, "Moses, what's that you've got in your hand?" We go down to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 in the New Testament, one of the epistles written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. And he says here, Paul writes, he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Can we read that as a church tonight? It's on the screen. We can read those words all together. 1, 2, 3. "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I want to speak tonight on this simple title, a simple stick. Turn to your neighbor and say, "A simple stick." Just a simple stick. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word tonight. As we open up your word, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us through your word. Lord, give us a special word for our time, a rhema word for the time that presents to us right now, oh God. Lord, that you would speak to us, that we'd have something to take away from this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. A simple stick. Or I guess you could say just a simple stick. There's a book. It's called The Dream Giver, and it's not to do with witchcraft or anything like that, but it opens with a sentence like this. It says, "Not long ago and not far away, a nobody named Ordinary lived in the land of the familiar." Not long ago and not far away, a nobody named Ordinary lived in the land of the familiar. And see, this story about Moses was an ordinary man, but he did some extraordinary things. God used this common man, Moses, in a very, very uncommon way. And in our text tonight, God says, "Moses, I've allowed you to be part of something supernatural. Moses, I've allowed you to experience the supernatural, not so that you can think that you're special. This whole experience, Moses, is not so that you will feel special, but I've let you experience this so that somebody else," everybody say somebody else, "I've let you experience this, Moses, so that somebody else may believe you, so that somebody else may believe you." And so at the outset of this message, I want to tell you tonight that I believe God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. God has a call on all of our lives. God has not allowed us to be saved. God has not allowed us to be born into this world just to live a number of years and to die. But God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And I believe that God wants us, everybody point to yourself, God wants us to reach this world. And I say to you tonight that if not you, then who? If not the Pentecostals, then who? Who is God going to use in these last days? I say to you tonight that I believe God has a plan and a purpose for every life today. God wants to use us. And so the story of Moses has been making many great movies over the years. And I guess you could say that it makes the perfect plot, because these days people have this intrigue in the supernatural. We live in a world that has an appetite for sensation, an appetite for the supernatural, an appetite even for spiritual things. Now, I say that when I say spiritual, I'm not referring to a godly spiritual or a holy spiritual, but now more than ever, people are absolutely taken by things of the spirit realm. You only have to look at the movies that are coming out in the cinemas and all the favorite books and all of that, and you'll see that people have this intrigue for witchcraft. Some of it may seem cute, those little ghosts and those little vampires and all that, but most of this stuff unfortunately targets and tempts our young children. And I tell you today, it is all there by devilish design. The devil has a plan. And so in the world today, there's a lot of entertainment centering on the supernatural, centering on the paranormal, centering on ghosts and demons and spiritual activity, haunted houses, occult, zombies. People are fascinated by it today. People are more spiritually aware than they've ever been. I remember somebody telling me, they weren't necessarily a believer, but they had partaken in some witchcraft at one time through a seance. And they were there thinking they were just having a little bit of fun, just messing with witchcraft. And I remember them hearing me say, they weren't a Christian, they weren't a believer, as I just told you. They said, "Pastor, I've experienced the dark side of the spiritual world." As they were tormented by those demons, as they were tormented by spirits. And they said, "I can't deny that there is a God now, because I've experienced the spirit realm." They said, if there is a dark, there has to be a light. If there is a bad, there has to be a good. And so the witchcraft in the movies and the entertainment today, people are doing all sorts of crazy things, like falling in love with vampires. I don't know all about that stuff. But you see, I just want to tell you that as crazy as it may seem, the world doesn't care about how blatant their doctrine is. They don't care about how crazy their doctrine may sound and what they're promoting to this world. They're promoting their agenda now, and it seems to be working very well. But I want to ask you today, if the world can be so brazen and so blatant, then why should we be embarrassed to tell people about Jesus? Why should we be ashamed to tell about the power of God in our life and what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has given us hope and how Jesus saved our souls? You see, this world, they're going to blast it out through every medium possible. And here we are, ashamed of the gospel. And we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. You see, I was thinking, could it be, why is it that people are so obsessed with the occult? You see, the enemy comes to seek, to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But why is this generation so interested in this stuff? Could it be, and I ask you today, could it be that the world is so hungry to see the supernatural that they would buy it from anybody? That they would take it from anybody? And I believe you and I, we are vessels that God can use. I believe that God wants to do powerful things. And listen to me. As Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, God wants to do powerful things through our lives. God wants to use us in miraculous ways. God wants to use you in a mighty way. And there's a sister here tonight, and I'm not going to say her name because I haven't asked to say it, but she prayed a prayer that God would just use her. She admitted that she had prayed that prayer many times, but at this time she was completely surrendered to God and said, "God, if you would just use me." And I tell you, God has begun to use this lady in a powerful way. I believe that if we would be surrendered to God, that God would allow supernatural and powerful things to happen through our life. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. And so the world is not our blueprint. Other churches are not our blueprint. Our blueprint is the book of Acts. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll read about miracles, signs, and wonders. You'll read about it all the way through the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, there was also a witch by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. When he saw the power of God, when he saw the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Give me that. I want to buy the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, look at this. Here, the witches were trying to buy godly things. The witches were coming to the church and saying, "We want some of that power." But now, 21 centuries later, I'm ashamed to say that much of the Christian world is now going and buying from the witches. Let me tell you, there is a power. And there is one great power, and that is the power of God. And God wants to move through our lives. If we would just surrender our vessels, God can fill us with His Spirit, and He can do mighty works through our life. I believe it. I want you to hear it tonight. I want you to believe it, and I want you to live it. God wants to use you. And so a stick. Everybody say a stick. Moses, this great man. In fact, today we had a Moses in church. It's not every day you have a Moses in church. And I went to shake one of our guests' hands, and his name was Moses. The wonderful thing was is that now Brother Akbar's got a few more Indonesians now, and that choir's going to be looking even better in October. Going to try and catch up to the Burmese and the Filipinos. But Moses, I might need just a little bit more volume on this mic. I'm going to lose my voice. Moses was a spokesman, a leader, a deliverer of God's people. He was called to lead God's people out of 400 years of slavery. Moses, this man, grew up in Pharaoh's house. He grew up in a palace. He grew up as royalty. Here, Moses, the Bible says, was nursed in his younger years by his mother. No doubt, Moses' mother had whispered to him, said, "Moses, you know that you're a Hebrew boy? You're a Hebrew boy. You're not an Egyptian." And then one day, this man, Moses, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and something came over Moses, and an anger hit tipping point, and he went and to that Egyptian who was beating this Hebrew, and he went there and he killed him. He killed that Egyptian. When word got out, he had to flee Egypt. You can go to the next slide, please, up there. He had to flee Egypt. And now Moses is 40 years old and leaving everything he had ever known. He married a lady, and now Moses is watching his father-in-law's sheep. Once upon a time, he was royalty in Egypt. Now he's watching sheep in the backside of the desert. A shepherd on the backside of the desert. All he has is a pair of sandals and a stick. Moses, this royalty, begins a new life and a new identity. He tried to camouflage his calling. He tried to run and he tried to cover it up. And let me tell you, if God has called you, you can't run from it. If God has called you, you can't cover it up, because God is going to seek you out. God is going to seek to find you, because God wants to use your life to reach this world. And I've seen a lot of people that God wants to use in a mighty way. They try to run from it. They try to say, "God, I know you want to use me, but I'm just happy just to sit in church." God says, "No, I didn't save you just to sit in church." They say, "I'm happy just to be a singer." But God says, "No, I want to use you even more if you would just surrender your life to me." I've seen people who the call of God is on their life. God began to use them. And they then became distracted by Satan, because when God began to use them, instead of doing the work of God, they began to focus on other people. And they stopped doing what God had called them to do. They say, "Oh, Pastor, you know, God wants to use me, but I can't stand this person and I can't stand that person. And nobody's recognizing me and nobody's thankful for what I do. And people are using me." I mean, did you ever pray a prayer that God would use you? God wants to use you. Don't be distracted, because you're not doing this unto man. You are doing it unto God. And as a pastor, there's many times I could look at the people and say, "God, it's not worth it for the people. Some people caused me a lot of problems. Had one person I spent a lot of time with. They're not here at this church. They're not even in the country anymore. And I'll just share this with you. One of the little things that happened. This guy writes to me. He goes, "Pastor, if anybody smiles at you, they don't mean it. If anybody says you're a good pastor, they're a liar." He wrote to me. He doesn't come here very often. But he just got upset because I didn't have any money to help him with. But he began to throw these statements back at me. And I could say, yes, it's not worth it for the people. I could be hurt. I could walk away. But we've got to remember that we're not doing this unto man. We're doing it unto God. It's unto God. We've got to get our perspective right. And though we may just have a stick, we may not have much to offer, but little is much when God is in it. And God wants to use every single one of you for the kingdom of God, for His kingdom. A simple stick. Everybody say a simple stick. And so Moses tried to run from the call of God. But then Moses has this supernatural experience with a burning bush. There are people here today. Maybe you're too embarrassed to even tell people. But you tried to run from God, and God came and interrupted your life through a supernatural experience. Moses had a supernatural experience with a burning bush. And there at that burning bush, God calls him. He says, "Moses, I'm calling you to deliver God's people out of slavery." How did Moses feel? Well, he felt like you would feel. He felt concerned. He felt worried. He asked a question. He said, "Well, how can God be calling me? I feel so nervous. I feel anxious. Oh God, how can you possibly be calling me? It can't be me, God. It can't be." And Moses said, "Well, come on, God. You've got to give me a sign. You've got to give me a sign." How many people have asked God for a sign? Yeah? It's all right to ask God for signs. Yeah, as long as you know, a lot of people, they ask God for a sign, and it's just an excuse. They say, "Well, God, give me the sign." And then they don't even look for the sign. And God gives them the sign, and they still don't realize. "God, give me a sign." And then suddenly God shuts a door. Boom. That opportunity is closed. And they don't realize that that was the sign. God shut the door. So they run to the door, and they start banging on the door. But God shut the door. That was the sign that you were asking for. And so Moses says, "Give me a sign." And God says, "Moses, what's that you've got in your hand?" Moses standing there with a stick. He says, "Well, God, it's just a stick. It's just a shepherd's rod, Sister Bethany. It's just a stick." And God said, "Moses, I want you to throw it down." Moses goes, "All right." He grabs that stick and he throws it down. What happens to the rod? It becomes a snake. Moses runs from it. He goes, "You know, a snake." How many people hate snakes? Yeah, I love fishing, but I hate snakes so much that I don't like to go fishing because of the snakes. But he ran from the snake, and then God says, "Hey, Moses, don't you run too far." He says, "I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up that snake by the tail." Now, this is where I would have failed with the call of God on my life. He threw it down as a stick. I would have been saying to God, "God, if you want me to pick up that thing, turn it back into a stick first. I threw it down as a stick, and I plan on picking it up as a stick." And God says, no, you just go and pick that thing up. Pick it up by the tail." And the worst place to pick up a snake, I would say, would be by its tail. Unless you've got one foot on its head. And so, God wants to use us. God wants us to take that little stick and not to hold it in our hand, but to throw it down and let God do something great. You see, if we go to the next slide, sometimes you've got to overcome your fear if you really want to be used of God. If you really want to be used of God, you've got to overcome your fear. God can take a common thing, just like a stick. If you would just remain obedient to God, if you would just be submitted to God, God can take what little you've got, and He can take the common, and He can make it uncommon. Our God is great. Our God, next slide, He doesn't need more equipment. He doesn't need more education. All God needs is somebody who is going to be obedient and surrendered unto him. And God says, you're the exact person that I need. I'm going to use you. Just a simple stick. And so did Moses have it easy? No. Moses had to walk through difficult situations. And same with us. God will allow us to walk through difficult situations so that he can use us in a great way. God can take your stick and he can make whatever he wants it to be. He can take your talent, he can take your ability, and he can anoint it. You can watch lives through your talent and your ability being used of God. You can see lives being changed for the glory of God. You see, we've got everything we need to be successful in the kingdom if we would just be obedient and be surrendered to God. But how do we respond? Oh, God, we just make excuses, and we've got to stop making excuses. God knows everything before he called us. And if he called you with full knowledge. He knows what talent you've got. He knows the weaknesses you've got. But if God has called you, he wants to use you. God knew everything before he called you. You see, sometimes all God needs is a stick. A simple stick. At the Red Sea, what was it? At the Red Sea, it was a stick. At the bitter waters of Marah, it was a stick. When the axe head fell in the water, what was it? It was a stick. You see, all God has ever needed from us is exactly what you've got to offer. Just be obedient and be submitted to God. Stop thinking you're not able. Stop thinking that you're inadequate. Stop looking at what you've done in the past. Stop thinking you're too small or not smart enough. If God has called you, God wants to use you. Remember this scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we can go to the next slide, Psalm chapter 78, verse 41. Here we read them whinging and complaining. It says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Everyone say they limited God. Some would say, how can somebody limit God? And they limited God when they said, can God, everyone say, can God? They said, can God spread a table in the wilderness? You see, this question, can God, from the very beginning, from the days of Adam and Eve, the question has been the devil's number one tool from the very beginning, to question the word of God. To question the promises of God. And they limited God. Read it for yourself. They limited God because they said, can God spread a table in the wilderness? You see, we need to quit asking, can God, can God, can God, can God? And we just need to start speaking faith and saying, God can, God can, God can. You see, words are very powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Moses, what's that you've got in your hand? Well, God, it's just a simple stick. A simple stick. You see, in order for God to turn a stick into something supernatural, Moses had to let go of it. He had to release it to God. He had to let it go. He had to surrender control over that stick and say, God, it's all up to you. I'm throwing it down for you. You see, when he let go, it transformed into something supernatural. You see, if Moses didn't go through the desert, he wouldn't have had that stick. And if he didn't have that stick, then God would have not had anything to use. But it was just a simple stick. Now let's talk about the snake. Moses has this encounter with God and he's already taken the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now Pharaoh says to Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to show me that you're the real deal. Remember what Moses was saying? He's saying, God, but they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that I've heard from you. And here's the test. Everyone say a test. All the students tell me what you do before a test. You study. That's good. Moses has a test. And Pharaoh says, show me, Moses, that you're the real deal. Now remember, Moses has already taken the test. It's a lot easier to take tests that you've studied for. Moses had already had an experience with God when he said, God, I got nothing to offer. And he's had to throw that stick down and it turned into a snake. Now he's at the next test. He's already studied for this one. And Pharaoh, you could say a type of Satan, says, come on, Mo, what do you got to offer? Show me that you're the real deal. And Moses has had an experience with God. Moses, he says, he's studied. He's nervous. Yes, he's anxious. But when you studied, you can have confidence in God. When you walk with God, you can have confidence. And so there is Moses. He throws that stick down. And what happened? Again, the stick turns into a snake. And Moses steps back to Pharaoh. He goes, Pharaoh, see, there you go. There you go. It turned into a snake. But Pharaoh didn't seem too impressed. He just looked at it. And he called for his magicians. He said, magicians, come. Come. And the magicians ran into the room. They also had sticks and they threw their sticks on the ground. And they turned into snakes. Can you imagine how Moses is feeling? God, hey, what's going on? Here I am. I threw one stick down. And now there's all these other snakes on the ground. And so they throw their sticks down and they turn to snakes. Moses is worried. He's confused. He says, God, I did what you told me to do. I threw it down and now they beat us. They beat us. Now there's all these snakes on the floor, and we know what Moses thinks about snakes. He says, I was scared of one snake, God, but now there's a bunch of snakes on the floor. You see, the important lesson to learn here is that the magicians did the same thing as Moses with their power. The Egyptian sticks didn't turn into snakes. The scripture says it turned into snakes, but they were magicians. It was magic. I believe that it was magic. They were using magic. They were tricking Moses. It was trickery and deception. That's why the Bible says that they were magicians. I don't believe that their sticks really turn into snakes. It was deception. And that is exactly the way the devil has worked ever since the very beginning. Deception and lies. You see, the devil doesn't just lie, but he is a liar. It's part of his nature. He is a liar. And so we live in a generation where there's a lot of snakes on the floor. There's a lot of powers out there, but they are false powers. The Bible calls them lying wonders. The Bible calls it deception, lies, and trickery. And so God says, Moses, Moses, let me get your attention. Get your eyes off the trickery. Get your eyes off the lies. Get your eyes off the deception, Moses, and get your eyes back on the floor. Moses turns his eyes back to the floor, and Moses' snake swallows up all the other snakes. You see, the miraculous and the power of God swallowed up all of the falsity, swallowed up all of the deception. You see, listen to me tonight. It started with one snake on the floor, and it ended with one snake on the floor. Jesus is all powerful. Our God, there is only one God. And Jesus is his name. In Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let me tell you, there is only one God, and that is Jesus Christ. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are endued with power from on high. That's why Paul could say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yeah, it started with one snake on the floor. Deception and lies and trickery came, but Brother Morty, it ended with one snake on the floor. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. Our God is always going to be victorious. We've got to hold on to the promises of God. We've got to trust God with faith and say, you know what? I don't have much to offer God, but I'm going to throw it down and I'm going to leave it up to you and trust you, God. A simple stick. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so Moses reaches down and he picks up his serpent and it turns back into a stick. I want you to realize when it turned back into a stick, it took all of the lies with it. Now I was thinking about that. What an incredible experience. Brother Ben, can you imagine walking into Malcolm Turnbull's office? God sends you there. You throw a stick down, it turns into a snake. You pick it up. It ate all the other snakes. You walk out of the office. You know, see, the amazing thing for me, this is very important for all of us, especially if you aspire to ministry, and we all should aspire to some ministry, was not the fact that the stick turned into a snake, but when the snake turned back into a stick. Because we love it when everything is wow. We love it when God is using us. We love it when we're speaking words of anointing, and we love the anointing of God being on us. We think all of this is just the grand pivotal thing when God uses you. But I want to ask you today, after God has used you, are you allowing God to pick you back up and become a stick in the master's hand again? A lot of people, God uses them once. It goes to their head. It goes to their ego. And they say, hey, I don't want to be a stick again. I want the supernatural. I want to be up front. I want to have the wow of God. Let me tell you, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Sometimes you're going to fly. The Bible says they shall run and not be weary. Sometimes you're going to be running. But most of all, the Christian life is that walk when we say, God, I'm happy just to be a stick in your hand. God, I feel privileged by the mere fact, oh God, that you want to use me. It's not about me, but it's about you, God. God will use you, yes, but then just go back to being a stick until God uses you again. Back to the Bible studies. Back to bringing friends to church. Go back to Sunday school teaching. Go back to working the door and serving meals and serving tea and coffee. Go back. Let God pick you up and just go back to being a humble, simple stick in God's hands. The musicians could come now. We got to say, God, I want you to use me. But when you're done, I want you to pick me up and I'll still remain that faithful one in your hand. The last point is the supernatural. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong. What does the Bible say? On our behalf. God is looking to show himself strong on our behalf. God is looking for people who are just a simple stick, Alpha. God is looking for people who are just simple, that God says, and they say to God, I just want to be used. God is looking for people like that, that he can show himself strong. And God can't show himself strong on your behalf, Brother James, if you're trying to show God how strong you are. God, I just want to be a stick in your hand. God, I want you to work through me. God, I surrender to your will for my life. God, you never called me to be ordinary. You never called me to the familiar. God, I want to be used of you. Here I am, Lord. Just use me. A simple stick. Let's all stand in this place tonight. Somebody needs to pray that prayer and say, God, I just want you to use what little I've got. I'm just a simple stick, but Lord, I'm willing to be thrown on the ground. I'm willing to throw it down to get my flesh out of the way, to stop trying to show you, God, how strong I am. But God, I want you to show yourself strong on my behalf. I'm just a simple stick. But you can see what God can do through people's lives who are surrendered and obedient to Him. This message is basically just a call for people to surrender to God, to be obedient to Him. This week as you leave this place, God's going to bring people across your path. Say, God, I just want to be a simple stick. Lord, I'm throwing it down. I want to get out of the way, God. I want you to use me. And if you do that, God will use you in a mighty way. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, help us to move out of the way. Help us to move our flesh out of the way, oh God. Lord, if you can use anything, oh Lord, you can use me. I give myself away to you, oh God. Lord, I surrender myself to you to be obedient to your call on my life, oh God, that I won't walk through this life, Lord, just being ordinary, just being satisfied with the familiar, to be not satisfied with just the natural, God. But I want to see, as you spoke in your word, I want to see you working through me in power. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Help us to move our flesh out of the way, oh God. Help us to crucify our flesh, oh God, on that cross, to take up our cross and to follow you, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. This altar is open if you want to come and just give your life to God. Say, God, I'm just a simple stick. I hadn't got much to offer, oh God, but if you can use anything, oh God, you can use me. I'm just a stick. Oh, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can use me. I give myself away. Hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
To you I belong. I give myself to you.
My heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, and every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Jesus, we love you, Lord. This is my desire. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all. And Lord, with all. Let's sing it. My heart, I worship you. I worship you, Lord. All I have within me, and all I have within me, I give you praise. I give you a praise. All I have and all that I adore is in you. Is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
What key are you in?
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
Let's sing this song, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to close the service with this song. From the bottom of my heart, Lord, I say yes to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, completely yes, my soul. Hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart
to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Oh, completely, yes. And my soul says yes. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you, Jesus. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I love you, oh Lord. And I really do. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. We say yes to you, Lord. My soul says yes. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these Old Testament stories, oh God, that are examples for us and samples for us to follow. Lord God, we learn from the life of Moses, oh God, that, Lord, little is much when you're in it, oh God. So, Lord, we say yes to you tonight. Lord, that you would use us. Lord, give us the boldness to throw down our giftings and our talents, oh God, onto the ground. And Lord, say it's not about us, oh God. We don't want to be in control. But God, we want you to use us to work through us. And in the same manner, oh God, help us, oh God, that when you work through us, oh God, to be happy, just to go back to being a stick again in your hand.